You are now listening to the Sports Life Talk podcast, hosted by Kevin Tumnus and Serge Vasudevic, where life without sports is just talk, on blogtalkradio.com. This is episode 4 of Sports Life Talk, where life without sports is just talk. I'm KT with my man Serge. Hey, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, brother. How are you?
Hey, it's almost a new year.
Almost a new year. I'm ready for 2018.
Me too, man. 2017 has been rough.
Lots of ups and downs, but, you know, closing out the year on a good note. Got this podcast going, so looking forward to more, doing more episodes with you, man.
So in 2017, man, how did it end as far as, did Santa bring you what you wanted?
Santa definitely brought me what I wanted. For about 5-6 months, I've really wanted to get a watch, like the Android watch. And between kind of being me and my wife, I guess, we decided to buy each other. I got her the Apple Watch, and she got me the Android Watch, so I'm happy. I mean, it's made my life a lot easier to have that on and be able to just, you know, use it to talk and get emails and text messages and not have to reach for my phone and me even being away from my phone. So definitely a convenience. So thank you, Santa.
Hey, well, Santa, he really didn't bring me anything, but hey, my kids were smiling. That's all that mattered. I got my wife money. Yeah, you can never go wrong with money.
And women, no, you can't. You definitely can't.
But the only thing is, Daddy didn't get anything, you know?
Yeah.
But like I said, just the enjoyment to see the smiles on their faces, I guess that's enough for me.
Absolutely.
Santa, you got to do better next year.
I'll keep you in my mind, man.
Please do. And while we got your attention, what do you think about the report that was just released that the Colts are going to release Chuck Pagano?
I definitely think it's almost like a year overdue, honestly, in my opinion.
So you don't think he got a fair shake? I mean, you're the best quarterback, young quarterback in the league hasn't been there.
Yes, I agree. But I think there's just been a lot that's going on. And obviously, even in, you know, when he first started coaching for the team, you know, he obviously had some of those health issues and things like that. But I just think, I think obviously not having Andrew Luck, you know, is a really, really big deal. But I just think with the new GM coming in, it just might be better off to kind of wash the slate clean and really start fresh. And, bringing in, I started to get a lot of defensive players, this past offseason and in the draft. And then I think going into next season, maybe we can start really looking at getting some more offensive line and playmakers, and hopefully a future running back for the franchise. I mean, that's ideal. Now, I'm hoping that just by them releasing, you know, that's one way to look at it. But it's also, do they kind of have a plan on who they are seeking? And hopefully, ideally, if it was, you know, me as a fan of the Colts, I would really like to see the Colts go after Josh Daniels from the Patriots, the offensive coordinator. I think he can really maximize Andrew Luck and his skill set. And then if we can, you know, we're obviously going to be probably, what, top 4 or 5 in the draft next year. And if we can go after somebody like Bryce Love or Saquon Barkley to kind of really assure that spot with the running back, Frank Gore's, getting a little older and stuff like that too. So
yeah, Barkley with Andrew Luck, man, that would be something serious.
Yeah, and then I think Andrew Luck also having a whole year off to really truly heal, and I'm sure he's going to come back with a little bit more urgency and more hunger because of being out. Because he's a super student of the game. And I think, it's just set up that way. And, in our division, he's also been able to see, like, the Jaguars have gotten better. The Titans are still, relevant. And in the Texans, with Deshaun Watson, if he was healthy, they probably would have made the playoffs. So it's not going to be easy like it was maybe when the first couple of years, we made the playoffs every year when he was in the league. But the future is bright. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing who they have in mind as the next head coach for the team.
So let's move on to something that's near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
The Cowboys implosion. Did you watch that mess last week?
I sure did. I watched every second of it because obviously it was a really important game. It was a big game. and it had a lot of playoff implications. It had a lot of potential, you know, post after the season's over, with whether it's the head coach, the players, you know, there's just a lot of layers to it, obviously. So it was really, really important for me to watch, just because obviously doing the podcast and wanted to make sure that dissecting the game and seeing what it was. And it was not pretty, to say the least. So
I have never been so sick of watching the Cowboys after that last game.
Yeah.
They completely wet the bed. Not only the players, but the coaches didn't put any of the players in positions to succeed. So I'm going to ask you this on the outside looking in. Is it time for the Cowboys to move on from Jason Garrett? Say yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, it is. But do I think it's going to happen? No.
No, we already know it's not going to happen.
Yeah, but of course, I think, you know, kind of like similar to Chuck Pagano, it's all also probably a year overdue for Jason Garrett as well. I think the only reason, obviously, he would still be able to stay on as a coach, you know, going into this year is because they had a great record last year. Yeah, they didn't do well in the playoff and, you know, lost to the Packers, but just the fact that they had that 13-3 record, it's like, how are you going to fire a coach that's 13-3? Well, did he really have a lot to do with why they were 13-3? I don't think so, because he got lucked up by, didn't know Dak Prescott was going to be that good. Zeke was basically the, you know, leading rusher in the league, and your defense played a lot better than you expected because you were running the ball, so you were keeping, you know, your defense off the field as well. So, you know, was it a fluke and whatnot? You know, so it was just, there was no way to really obviously let him go at that point. But now, with the way, you know, decision making, I mean, I just don't understand, like, why they weren't giving Zeke the ball.
You know, I don't understand it either, because, you know, I needed Zeke in fantasy football. We're at the 2-yard line. I end up losing because of those plays.
Yeah.
Okay, that's totally off topic. But still, my whole thing is, two players should not affect the team. Missing two players shouldn't affect the team that much.
No.
Ezekiel Elliott was out. Rod Smith is a serviceable running back. Alfred Morris, you rely on them more. Mm-hmm. Sean Lee being out. How can one man affect the defense that much?
You know, that's a very good question. And I know, yeah, he's a signal caller and he's the, you know, the central line of the defense. But, I mean, he's not a pass rusher. He's not, you know, I don't really see the impact. I mean, I do see his impact on the team because the records speak for itself.
Yeah, you can.
And the number of points that they allow. But at the same time, like you say, like, if your system is in place, then you should still have, I mean, you got Jalen Smith too. I mean, you do have, you know, good, fast, you know, linebackers. You got DeMarcus Lawrence, you know, who's been beating it up this year. And even your defense DBs have played, you know, above what you would have wanted to even them to play. And so that's where my confusion is really, is how is it that one player is making that much of an impact? And I think just preparation of your team, and you're putting so much onus on one player. And same thing on the offensive side, like, you know, all the games that they were willing to run the ball more and gave it to Rod Smith or Alfred Morris, they won when Zeke was out. But then when they didn't, they lose. And then, you know, Zeke had, I think, 78
yards in the first half.
First half, but then you only had 20 in the second half. So, like, first and goal with the 3. I mean, okay, you don't give it to the first down. You don't give it to them on second down. You don't give it to them on third down. So it's like, then it's almost like, well, I guess we don't really want to win this game, you know. And it's like, at some point, it's got to be accountable to the coach. Like, it can't be just the players also. It's like, it almost makes it look like the team is not even trying hard enough, because, you know, they're not even really sure if, you know, there's no urgency of like, oh man, like, we got to play it out for our coach, otherwise he might get let go. Like, no, there's no fear in those players, because they're just playing, you know, for the money and playing for the star, really.
And then as a coach, if I see my offensive coordinator on the first down, we throw the ball, I go to him, I say, look here, the next two downs, we're at the 2-yard line, you get the ball to Zeke.
Right.
That's what a good coach would do.
Right.
Not just sit there and clap about everything.
Right.
So, I was just so disgusted, sir. I wanted to break something, but I worked, you know, I paid my hard-earned money for stuff, so why break it because of the Cowboys? Right. But that was just so frustrating.
Hey, I still remember getting a text from you right after the game where I was like, oh, we don't have to talk about this on the podcast. Right. And I was like, ooh, this is going to be intense.
Yeah,
because I feel blood vessels popping over here.
And the thing is, with Dak, he's regressed. They're actually showing plays when he's looking Dez's way when Cole Beasley and Jason Witten are wide open.
Yep.
And that's amazing to me about Dez. You cry and, you know, be on the sideline. They throw you the ball. What do? You fumble it.
Or you get a tip because it's not supposedly right in your hands.
But if you get one hand on the ball, you should catch it. The dude had two hands on it. Was it behind him? Yeah, but he got two hands on it.
And my thing is, when it comes to plays like that, it's like, I know it's really difficult to compare players, but you do, especially at the rate of money that he's making.
Yes.
So if I compare you to people in that same position that is supposed to be a number one receiver and make that kind of money, and I see all those other guys being able to make those catches. I mean, Larry Fitz, he catches that ball.
Julio Jones catches that ball. Antonio Brown catches that. DeAndre Hopkins, catch that.
Yeah, I mean, I think even Odell Beckham
catches that.
He might catch that with one hand.
Yes.
You know, so it's getting to a point where, you know, like you said, he's complaining on one end on the sidelines that he's open, he's not getting the ball. And then you heard after that, you know, I was really surprised. I mean, but you could see it in his face, the body language is like, dude, like, I mean, I throw it to him, but like, if he don't catch it, and not only does he, okay, it's one thing to drop the ball, it's another thing to let it go through your hands and it ends up being in another, you know, the opposing team's hands, and then they run it back for a touchdown. And he's had, you know, five of his interceptions this year have gone to Dez, and, you know, he didn't catch it. And
well, on that, the one you're talking about, he overthrew Ezekiel Elliott for the pick six.
And
when they scored last week, he overthrew Zeke.
Yeah.
So that was the one. But, right. Yeah, the other one with Dez tipped it
in
there.
I'm talking about throughout the whole season.
Okay, I got
you. Yeah, I mean, he's had those incidents where, you know, it's almost like I'm more afraid to throw towards Dez because if he catches it, great. But if he doesn't catch it, not only is he dropping it, or it's not even like he's dropping it or like he's going all the way to the ground and just comes out. No, it's like it hits his hand and he never even had two hands on it for more than a second.
And when we were 13-3, he did not force the ball to Dez. He was getting to Beasley and Witten, and he would take his shots with Dez. That's what we need to go back to. That's why it hurt not running the ball.
Right.
And I don't understand if you and I and all of Cowboy Nation and even the Cowboy haters can see this, why can't Jason Garrett and his coaching staff?
Your guess is as good as mine, and hopefully, you know, there's some resolution to that. And, you know, I just have a feeling like, you know, I know we're going to talk about their game later, but it's like it's too late. You can't try to make up for what you did last week, and I'm sure he's going to, you know, try to make sure that they're in the best position, try to win this game, and maybe feed the ball to Zeke more than they even should just because you're trying to make up for last week. But it's too late.
But my thing, I wouldn't even play my starters. I would play all of the younger guys because we already see what the starters can do. Right. They're no better than the 8-8 team. So let's get the younger guys in there and see what they can do.
But do you think that will happen?
Hell no. All right. Speaking of Dez, let me ask you this. How much do the Cowboys need Dez?
Not much. It's really difficult to say because he's really, I don't think he's past his being the number one receiver on a team, especially on the Cowboys. So do they, you know, could they use his services? Yes, I think so, because I think he still garners, maybe not a double team, but you still have to pay attention to him. And then if he has two back-to-back good games, that's all it's going to take for the defense to start respecting him again, where they do start, you know, putting a little bit more onus on playing the, you know, coverages towards him. But I think it's time, if they decide to keep him, they have to have a plan that he's going to be maybe a number two receiver as opposed to a number one receiver. And then obviously the whole pay cut thing too, you know, if he's not willing to, you know, restructure his deal so that way it can help his team, you know, similar to what Tom Brady does in football and similar to what Dirk does in basketball. I mean, he, you know, needs to really consider doing that if that's what he wants to do. Does he is he obligated to do that? No, he's not. And then if he doesn't, you know, I'm sure he'll get traded or he might even get cut.
You know, see, I went back and forth on this because you can see his production has went down. And the only time he really makes a big play is if he you throw it up in the air, he jumps up, and even that's not so sure.
And the
anymore.
DB falls down. And,
exactly. Yeah. Now, as far as a pay cut, now, if I'm Dez, it took him a long time to get that money. He had to hold out. So we both agree.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take the pay cut.
I wouldn't take a pay cut either.
But if he wants the team to be better, he should.
Yes.
And we do need to bring in an actual number one receiver or an offensive coordinator who can move Dez around, move Zeke around to make them successful.
Right.
It's easy for me to put you out there. We're going to W. Now what? We're taking you out the game.
Right.
Or let's double Cole Beasley. That's what really killed us is his production going down. And if Terrence Williams is our pretty much being our number one receiver, a guy that can't catch, who catches with his chest, we're screwed.
Yeah.
So I agree. I would like for them to go out there and get the receiver from Alabama. Is it Ridley?
Ridley.
I would love for them to go out there and get him to go with Dez, with Zeke, with Dak, Witten, get Rico Gazzard in. It's just so much. We have too much talent on the offense to be just so asinine. You know, I'm getting mad just doing this. So let's move on to the next topic, man. Okay, we saw the Patriots versus the Bills last week.
Yeah.
The Patriots benefited from another call that clearly with replay should have reversed that touchdown. Why do the Patriots keep getting the benefit of the doubt?
Man, it's like the rich get richer when it comes to called. I don't know.
So you're saying that the Patriots are pretty much the Republicans of the NFL?
Yeah, you could say it like that. You know, I mean, it started obviously, 2001 with the Tuck Rule, or 2002 with the Tuck Rule. I mean, it's like ever since then, there's been more than at least 10 significant plays, whether it's in the regular season or in the playoffs, that it's like, you know, either they're like close on the edge of cheating, they're not breaking the rules, but they're like, you know, bending it all the way to almost the breaking point, or they get calls in their favor even after getting it reviewed. It's one thing to, you know, where, okay, they didn't have 2 feet in bounds, but they quickly, you know, go quick snap, and then the defense didn't even get a chance to even, you know, challenge the play. But even if you challenge it, it still looks like it's always going to go in the Patriots' way. And I guess that's what they call it. It's the Patriot way.
My thing is, what's the point of having a replay if you can't get it right? That was blatant that the dude had 2 feet down.
Yeah.
And then when you
go – Kelvin Benjamin.
Benjamin. Yeah, you go back to the Tuck Rule. He brought the ball down and it fell out. He was not throwing it.
Yeah.
I have two friends who are Oakland fans, and they, boy.
Still.
We should have had them on right now. It probably got a little fired up, but I just do not understand how the Patriots get away with everything, and the Cowboys, we can't get an offensive holding call.
Yeah.
I guess it's because of Jerry Jones, too, huh?
You never know. And it's like, it's kind of like, I know the Cowboys are obviously always and forever going to be called America's team, but it's like, it's kind of like if they were to even pass the torch down to another team, it's like the Patriots have it because of all their success and Robert Kraft and all that he does for the league and Tom Brady, you know, face of the NFL. And it's like, just like everything is just like set up for them to succeed. And it's like, let's see, you know, we're going to have the playoffs, and, you know, see if most people think that they're going to make it to the Super Bowl, and if they win, you know, it's like, just keep an eye out for plays like this that don't get overturned or go in their favor, then, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that has to answer a lot of questions, because this is just like starting to becoming too much.
And then you talk about America's team. Look at the Cowboys, the plays that haven't been overturned. Like the catch in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew that was a catch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was a catch.
Serge, can we stop talking about the Cowboys? I'm getting upset. All right. They say an apple a day keeps a doctor away. Well, in New York, I'm pretty sure this apple, they want him to go away completely.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard, Eli Apple, a lot of his teammates, especially Landon Collins. What is he, a second or third year player now, Landon Collins?
Landon Collins is
the safety?
Second or third year? Yeah.
Well, he felt that Eli had checked out. And he went on to say, if you go back to the game on Sunday, Eli was sitting down on the sideline. That's not what we need right now. And his Twitter response, he eventually apologized, saying, you know, I'm always here for him. But we all know what you say at first is what you really mean. So how do you feel about a guy going after his teammate who really didn't show any kind of effort, especially with the Giants and the season they're having? He could go off. He could have went out there a lot of people.
I always think that going out and putting your dirty laundry in the media is very childish. I think it's immature. I think it's disrespectful because what it makes – not saying that Eli Apple doesn't have any, you know, or he doesn't even have things that are going on to where – why Landon Collins is even saying those things. But I think it just sets a bad example, and I don't think that's what the organization wants, or at least I don't believe that's what the organization wants. And I think if you've already voiced your opinion, just go to your head coach, go to the owner of the team and be like, hey, like, I just don't know if this guy is the right fit for our franchise if we're really trying to, you know, make positive strides going forward.
Or just go to the player himself and just talk to him, man up. And the one thing I will give Landon Collins credit on, he didn't hide.
Right.
He said it, and he mentioned Eli's name. So that's a good thing, because we know a lot of guys are cowards, and they won't put their name to it. So I will give him that.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? We'll see after the season. Maybe they might get rid of both Eli's on their team.
Well, do you think really getting rid of Eli's answer? Manning, that is.
I don't think so, but I just, you know, that another, and this is another scenario for them is, you know, who's going to be there? Is it going to be Spagano, or is it going to be somebody else that they're going to hire as their new head coach? And because he seems like he's okay with having Manning around, but I don't know. It's like, does Manning really still want to be there? I mean, I don't know if he could really go to a better spot, but I think they should keep him. I mean, I think he should just be a Giant for life, in my opinion.
Yeah, because it's kind of hard throwing the ball to guys that you just get off the street. So that's not really Eli's fault.
Right.
So we're going to move on and talk about should college players stay in school if they don't want to play for a certain team? If you hadn't heard, Josh Rosen from UCLA said if the Cleveland Browns are committed to drafting him, he would stay in college. So what you got on that, Serge?
I mean, it's their choice to stay in school at the end of the day. So leaving when they want to leave, or when they're allowed to leave, and staying as long as they want, you know, it is their right and it is their choice. I just think that, you know, where does it become a point where, okay, well, all right, yeah, I'm going to go to the draft, and the team comes and talks to me like, hey, we're really thinking about drafting you. And I say, like, you know, I really don't want to play for your franchise. But then there are teams who will still draft you because they feel like once they draft you, you're kind of out of their way and you don't have a choice, and you'll do as they say, and you'll eventually buy into what it is. And it's a tough situation because, I mean, the Cleveland Browns aren't doing themselves any favor by not playing well every single year, regardless of, you know, who. I mean, for them, too, I mean, it's like, you know, that's like, I don't even know the name of the owner of the Browns. I mean, that's sad. But
yeah, who cares?
You know, but it's like you have implosion, or you have lack of, you know, any kind of excellence. I mean, it's like, they would be the team that has Josh Gordon, who had all these, you know, off the field issues. You know, they would be the team that passes upon Deshaun Watson, that passes upon certain other quarterbacks.
Carson Wentz.
Jeff, you know, so there's just so many different season after season after season. It's just like, it's like one thing to not make a good decision once or twice, but then it's like continuously every single year.
Yeah, how do you keep missing on quarterbacks? That's what I don't understand.
I don't know. And I mean, Deshaun Kaiser, I mean, he's not that good. And
no, he wasn't that good at Notre Dame.
So, okay, who's it going to be now? Like, I mean, are you – okay, if it's not Rosen, you're going to go get one of those guys. You're going to go get not Baker Mayfield, but you're probably going to get
– You got Josh Allen from Wyoming. Sam Darnold from USC.
Yeah, I mean, it's – okay, if you go get those guys, I mean, they're walking into – you know, a team that's won one game in the last 2 years. Like, I mean, even mentally, like, even when you go to practice, how are you supposed to think, like, man, we're going to be, like, not good? I mean, I can do my part, but we might still lose because of who the team is. It's just a negative energy that completely exists in that whole organization. so that any player that walks in, because, I mean, they try hard. I do respect the fact that their coach, you know, he has the team, like, at least playing hard. And, you know, they've been in some games where they came close to, you know, obviously winning and stuff. But it's, man, it's and it's bad for the NFL to just, like, continuously have a team, like, that's that bad. And, like, I mean, at least have one or two randomly decently above average season, like 8-8. You know, if you go 8-8 two times in 3 years and then you go back to being mad, it's like, okay, at least we kind of see the light. Or, oh, we didn't get a – if we get a break here and a break there, we could really – you know, maybe they take that next step, but I just don't see that happening anytime soon.
Well, if I'm Josh Rosen, well, let me go back to John Elway. He did the same thing. He told, was it the Baltimore? I think the Baltimore Colts or Baltimore or somebody at the time. He told them, hey, don't draft me. I don't want to play with you.
Yeah.
So he's one of the NFL greats, so I get it. So if I'm a college player, my dream is to play in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
And if I can be the number one pick and change a franchise, isn't that something I should want?
Yeah.
But if I'm Josh Rosen, I'm staying in school. I am not playing for the Cleveland Browns. They have proven that they can't make good decisions, like you said. Every year they've drafted a quarterback. Johnny Manziel, how did that work out?
Right.
Deshaun Kaiser. We brought RG3 in. How did that work? It's a dumpster fire. And if I'm Goodell, I'm stepping in and saying, hey, you either get it together or I'll put somebody in place to get this team together, because it's an embarrassment. The Cleveland Browns, they have a loyal fan base, and you let them down every year. It's ridiculous. It's just like the Cowboys not making the playoffs this year because we couldn't beat the Seahawks because of our coaches. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right, so Vince McMahon, Mr. WWE himself, is thinking about bringing back the XFL. Is this a good thing?
I don't think so. I mean, it didn't work the first time. I mean, I just don't see how another professional football league can work. I mean, the NFL just has so much going for it. I don't know, you know, I know what they would try to do back in the days and how to make it different and, you know. It
was, having little nicknames on the back, like,
I mean, it was more like unfiltered, I guess you could say, and they let players do a lot more. You got, like, the camera angles, like, right in the huddles. You can hear the huddles. And, I mean, those are kind of cool things that I kind of sometimes do wish that, you know, the NFL would incorporate a little bit more. But, I mean, unless he has, you know, he learned his mistakes from the previous time having it and he wants to restructure it and still have it more towards how the NFL is structured, but at the same time still offer those other things, it might work. I did read somewhere that one of the things that, you know, he might do, which I don't know how beneficial it would be, is to have one of the teams or somehow figure out a way to, I guess, have Colin Kaepernick be part of XFL. I don't know if that's a team-wise or the league-wise or whatever, just because that just creates
headlines. That's all for headlines. Mm-hmm. That's what he
is. And, hey, that's what draws money in. I mean, he's a billionaire for a reason. I mean, he sold, you know, $100 million in shares of his company. I mean, so if he's doing that, you know, he's gone back and registered and patented, you know, some of, you know, the XFL and, you know, its branding and logos and stuff like that. So that, if he's going to do it, I mean, let's see. Like, I got to be able to really see how are you going to change from last time? Because if it's anything remotely close to what it was last time, it ain't going to work.
Well, my thing is the XFL, it's not going to work because the NFL is king.
Yeah.
So why would you try to go up against that? You already got your sports entertainment in WWE, which I'm a huge fan of. I watch all the time.
Yeah.
My thing is, if you want a football team so bad, invest in one in the NFL. Could you imagine the NFL, the WWE, the promotion that you can get?
Oh, yeah.
That would be a smarter deal than trying to create a whole league already failed.
Yeah, I mean, he could really think about considering buying the Panthers. I mean,
or the Cleveland Browns. How about buying the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, maybe.
But, yeah, the Panthers, that would be right up his alley. And then guess who you can bring in? Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Because Colin Kaepernick, Curry, they're all, and Diddy, they're all trying to go together to get that team anyway. Mm-hmm. Why not throw your little $100 million in there to help out?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the money aspect is definitely not an issue for him. I think it's more, what does he really want to do? How much control does he want to have? And having a control of a team versus having a control of a league, you know, it's totally different, you know. And, you know, he would be the Roger Goodell of XFL too, right? But he's the more, he will do interviews. He will come out and say things like, this is what we're going to do. He will also listen to people and listen to fans and make suggestions. One thing you're never going to have a problem with if the XFL does happen is obviously what the fans like. You know, it's all about entertainment. Just like in WWE, it's all about entertainment. More so than even, you know, to a fault, more so the product on the field is, you know, all the touchdown celebrations and things like that. That, you know, especially for people that are younger, who like those kind of things, and adapting like the music culture and the entertainment culture into the actual sport. I think that's what he was really good at. And that's why it was just intriguing into even wanting to get people to watch. Maybe they don't even care about which team that they're rooting for. They don't care who scores, but it was just an interest level. But once they did it for a few weeks, and then people started seeing, okay, true football fans really still want the end product, and the end product wasn't being delivered to their likings, and obviously they're going to compare it to NFL, and it wasn't anywhere close to it. So
yeah, just a smarter move. And I want Vince McMahon to succeed because he is a great businessman, and I love the WWE, and I can't
do a lot.
Yeah. But just invest in buying the team. That'll be the.
I think it would be very good for the NFL to have somebody like him be a part of it, because he thinks outside the box. He would be somebody that would come in and be like, "Hey, look, the WWE, we're worldwide. So NBA, worldwide." He would be that person that can try to figure out a way to get the NFL into more of a worldwide experience and offer a channel, offer something that where people can afford it and it's not ridiculously priced, and they can still get a little bit of just to start gauging the interest more in other, you know, other parts of the world. And that's where, and you don't have to go play there. You just need people to watch you. How can we watch? You need to start really advertising your players. You need to, you know, do your own commercials where you're advertising the players. Like the NBA does a great job. I mean, all this NBA Cares and NBA 60 program. I mean, NFL has their 60, but it's like, how often do you see a commercial? I need to be seeing a commercial like 7 times throughout an entire game, not once, maybe, or twice during the season. Like, I barely ever see it regardless of what channel I'm watching it on, you know? So there's just a lot of missing gray areas when it comes to marketing aspect that I think he would really come in and help out a lot.
And I'm glad you brought that back, because it is, WWE is huge everywhere. And NFL, we're big in the United States, and we try to play in Mexico and London. That's not really going to work. And then, like you said, Vince McMahon, he would broaden that horizon.
Yep.
So the new hashtag, Vince McMahon by NFL team.
All right.
So let's move on to our next topic. A guy that money doesn't mean anything to him. Floyd Mayweather wants to play Kobe Bryant one-on-one for $1 million. If you're Kobe, would you do this?
No. I think it's a waste of my time. $1 million is really not changing anything, and beating somebody that's not even known to have played basketball really isn't exciting to me. He could probably tie one hand behind his back and probably beat him one-on-one. Now, if you're talking maybe $100 million, we got maybe a little, okay, that'll make a difference in my bank account. But he can get $1 million by, you know, walking down the street and go to Google and be like, "Hey, I'll do a commercial for you guys. Pay me $1 million." He could do that in, you know, in 30 seconds, as opposed to, you know, sweating, you know, maybe having to break a sweat, I guess, against Floyd Mayweather. And, you know, he obviously was just saying to say something just to be on the news. I feel like it's never going to happen.
Kobe wouldn't break a sweat. Kobe would just go to the post and just shoot over his foot. It's just
shoot
a waste of time. It's all about getting his name out there, just like him trying to say that he may fight in the UFC.
Nope.
Floyd. Come on, man.
No. It's not going to happen.
I don't care how much money they get you.
Yeah.
If Conor McGregor gets you in there, you're done.
Yeah, you're done in seconds.
Yeah, because he's going to put a hold on you. You're going to tap out, and now your whole legacy that you've built, everybody's going to remember this one moment.
Right.
All right, so let's move on to the king of the court. Who is the top dog in the NBA? Is it LeBron or is it Kevin Durant?
I'm going to still go with LeBron until I see that in all aspects of the game, LeBron at the level he's playing at has deteriorated to a point where it's clear cut that, okay, he is on his downside and it's showing, and he's showing a little bit of wear and tear because of all the, you know, minutes he's played throughout his career. Now, I'm going to still have to go with LeBron. I still think he's at the top of the food chain. I think if you look at the grandscape of, you know, the whole league, you know, most executives will still, you know, have LeBron. If they wanted to just play one season and have him be the best player on the team, they would still pick him over Kevin Durant. And I know with the finals last year, you know, Kevin Durant won MVP, you know, and then in addition to that, they had the game on Christmas. And, you know, he obviously did play better than LeBron did. But I just think that you can't just take those two instances. I think we just need to see a little more longevity from Kevin Durant and consistency. And at the same time, also understanding that Kevin Durant is able to be looked at in this fashion because he's playing with a better team. He's playing with a better team, which makes his job and his role easier and to be more efficient in the game that he was already playing in back in Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook. But it's like, oh, let me take Russell Westbrook, you know, obviously, and then most recently they had Enes Kanter and Serge Ibaka and Steven Adams. Okay, well, Kevin Durant, I got Steph Curry, who's probably another top five player. You got Klay Thompson, that's probably a top 10, 12 player. You got Draymond Green, who's another top 15, top 20 player. Well, that makes just by playing with better players, you're already going to make yourself – it's going to be easier to play. Then on top of that, you go into a system that also is predicated on moving the ball, cutting, sharing, and even on defense. It's not a lot of individual defense. It's team defense. They're able to switch on everything because of the type of length that they offer, have to offer with Sean Livingston and Iguodala. So it's a system that also benefits Kevin Durant to be really, really efficient. One thing I'll give Kevin Durant credit for is he is a way better defensive player than he ever has been. And even this season, I know for a fact he's playing better defense than LeBron is. But, you know, he's 29, you know, and he doesn't have the miles that LeBron has. So, but people need to get over the fact that, you know, if you really think Kevin Durant is a better NBA player than LeBron, then you might be on something.
For me, Durant will always be number two to LeBron, just like LeBron will always be number two to Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
LeBron is the top dog in the league. Kevin Durant, why didn't we see this Kevin Durant in OKC?
Yeah, that's a question I always ask. Is like, if you're able to play this efficient, I mean, you were putting up stats, you were putting up points, you weren't rebounding this well. That's all effort. You know, you weren't playing defense as well. That's all effort.
So are we going to blame Scott Brooks?
I would put a little bit of blame on him because you also have to try to get that out of your player, but then it's also obviously the system that you play in. I think I don't want the excuse of like, well, you know, playing with Russell Westbrook and, you know, him being a volume shooter and, you know, his usage rate is also really high, so it's really hard to play. No, like, because there were games where you were dropping 40 and he was dropping 25 and vice versa. So, and I mean, you carried the team when he was out, he carried the team when you were out. So if you were that good and you've been playing together that many years, it wasn't like you guys only played together one or two or three years. You guys played together 7, 8 years together. Your game should have evolved to where how much you practice together during the off season, and then also, hey, how do we dictate, you know, how the game is going to flow? It's going to be based off of us. We're the two top dogs. We're two of the top, easily the 10 best players in the league. We're going to take over games. I mean, you know, the whole being up 3-1 against the Warriors a couple of years ago. And, you know, it's like, and then he was, you know, in game, you know, game 5 and game 6 and even in game 7, he started playing really hard. But, you know, with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter when it was already too late, the Warriors are already up. And, you know, and then, you know, it's like, if they would have won, obviously he wouldn't have left. But the fact that they lost, and they lost, you know, being down 3-1, it was this head scratching moment because I felt like they had it, and I can't say they choked it away, but it's like he.
Yeah, you can. Okay, they choked. If you have 3-1 on the team, you should put them away.
Yeah, and they, I mean, they, like you said, I mean, if I think it was game 6 that they, you know, they had it on their home court. That's the game that I felt like, okay, all right, I can understand you go to Golden State, you lost game 5, but come back home, game 6, you're still up 3-2. You got to put that away. And they just didn't come out with the energy and effort that a championship team on the other side was playing with. And it was, you know, a telltale sign. But and then obviously you wait till the summer and then you leave and you go join the team that beat you. I don't know. I think you do have to hold that. It's not, I'm not going to hold that against him, but I will hold that against him when it comes to comparing and saying who's a better player. Because
people want to compare their situations. LeBron, Wade, and Bosh, they had to come together to form that, you know, the big
super
three.
Super team, right.
Golden State already won 73 games the year before you came.
Right, without you, right.
So you actually made them that super team.
Yeah.
So like you said, I won't hold it against Durant, but don't ever tell me that he's better than LeBron.
Right.
Because this Durant would have been playing like this for OKC, I guarantee they would have had a championship by now.
1,000%. And I really, you know, rooted for that team because it's not obviously the year that, you know, they played the Mavs and we beat them and then we went and beat the Heat, but just every other year after that, even though they didn't have James Harden, you just knew they didn't. They almost didn't really even need James Harden because how good Westbrook and Durant were. And Westbrook, you know, like his increase in his play was, I mean, Durant was pretty consistent. But Westbrook stepping up his game and just improving and improving and improving. I mean, it's just like, oh, this is a team that's going to win a final. And then, like, out of nowhere. And I'm not sure, you know, if you know the story, but so, you know, the Warriors were up 3-1 on the Cavs, and they obviously lost. And after Game 7, you know, they lost in Golden State. After the game, I want to say within an hour after the game, you know, the story is that Draymond
he called Durant and said, we need you.
Yeah, went to the car, he called and said, like, hey, man, we need you to come. And I'm just like, and then it's one thing to call and say, like, hey, you know, why don't you come play for us and, you know, don't worry about it. And, you know, we'll share the ball and you'll get your shots or whatever he told him. But, you know, he still had a few weeks to really think about all that, let it marinate. And, you know, at the end of the day, he made the best decision for him. But I feel like it's a lot easier to make a decision to do that when, man, there were 73 and that without me. Could you imagine? We could be 75-7 with me, you know, so.
But the fact that they won a championship, I'll give them that. But they should have beat that record of 73 once you put Kevin Durant on that team. And that's another thing why Durant would never be better than LeBron in my books. It took all of y'all to take down the King.
Yeah.
It took all of y'all.
All four of you.
To go and take down LeBron. Right. So that just tells you how great LeBron is. And like one of the things you said in one of the podcasts, people need to recognize how great this man is because once he leaves, there will never be another LeBron.
The power shift is going to be crazy when he leaves.
Yeah, so before we move on to our NFL picks, let me ask you, who is the most complete team in the NFC and the AFC?
Okay, in the NFC, Rams and Saints are at the top of my list. I really like the Saints more than the Rams. I mean, I've always kind of like, you know, kind of, I guess you could say, like, say, you know, they're one of my top couple of teams that I like watching and that I actually root for. I mean, I've always been a big Drew Brees fan, too. And they, you know, they're a good organization as well. And the Rams, I mean, they're playing lights out. And Todd Gurley, Jared Goff, their defense is, you know, spectacular. I'm gonna pick the Saints, man. I'm gonna pick the Saints just because, you know, their running game with Ingram and Kamara, and obviously having Drew Brees and Michael Thomas, is, you know, as their, you know, best wideout, and go along with Ted Ginn, who gives you some speed and, you know, downfield threat, and their defense is a lot better than anybody expected. And, you know, got Lattimore, the corner. He's an outstanding corner. And I think they're overall, it's a complete team wise. I just think if they were to face each other, I think the Saints would come out on top. And on the AFC side, I know they lost to the Patriots, but I'm still going to have to roll with the Steelers. Quarterback play, running back, receiver, and obviously this all is contingent on Antonio Brown being healthy and able to play. And on the defensive side, they, you know, even though they lost James Harrison, it's not even that big of a deal. I just think, you know, with J.J. Watt, T.J. Watt, you know, Dupree, you know, they got a good. It would be awesome if they could still have Ryan Shazier because I think their defense is pretty stout. And I think just that the balance that they have, because you don't know if they're going to run the ball. You don't know if they're going to throw the ball. You know, they have, you know, playmakers on the team on both sides of the field, on both sides of the ball. So as a complete overall team, I would have to go with the Steelers in the AFC, and I'm going to go with the Saints in the NFC.
Well, I'm going with the Rams in the NFC, and that's because of Todd Gurley. I don't know if we talked on the other podcast of who we thought the MVP would be, but the last couple of games, man, Todd Gurley, I think he had like 7 touchdowns in the last 2 games.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm leaning towards him. I would love to see him get the MVP because he deserved it.
I think so. I think so. I think, I mean, the numbers he's had, even if you just look at the whole season, yeah, I mean, he's, you know, put up a lot of the touchdowns in the last couple of weeks. He has 19 total touchdowns. He's leading the league in rushing. And I think his team's winning. He's helping the team win. He's also helping Jared Goff out by running the ball. So he's setting up the play action plays and things like that too. And I think also the only other person, you know, because Carson Wentz is out, I don't think they would give it to him. And if it's just really down to him and Tom Brady, Tom Brady has not played well. I mean, he's my quarterback in my fantasy league, and he has not played well at all this whole month of December, when usually this is the time of year that he's actually at his best going into the playoffs. And who knows if it's this, the age, or if they're just, you know, defenses are just figuring out, like, okay, this is the way the Patriots play, and, you know, or maybe it's a combination of both. But I think that he has to be taken into serious, serious consideration for MVP. And unless Tom Brady has a ridiculous game today, I honestly do believe that they should give it to Todd Gurley.
So I got the Rams in the NFC. I got the Steelers in the AFC. I agree with you. Both teams who would have given their running back the ball on the 2-yard line. All right,
there you go, the Cowboys.
I know. Yeah. I had to breathe in there. Okay, so you mentioned James Harrison. Let's talk about him signing with the Patriots and how his former players all butthurt about it. What are your thoughts on that?
James Harrison leaving or asking to be, you know, cut or whatnot, or waived.
But in fairness to him, he's only been on the field for like 40 snaps.
Yeah.
40 snaps. Right. Your leading sack leader of all time, 40 snaps.
Yeah. And so he played with the Steelers for all these years, and then he did get cut or waived, whatever you want to call it, a couple of years ago. And then he went and played with the Bengals.
Yeah, I think it was the Bengals.
Yeah. And there was really obviously no issue then because, the team decided to cut him. Then he's out, whatever, and then they decide to bring him back. You usually only decide to bring somebody back, especially even at an advantage, because you feel like he can help your team out in some capacity on the field. And if he might not play the same amount of downs as he did before, but you still expect him to play at least 30 to 40% of the snaps on defense every game. Because if one thing I can say about him, that dude stays in shape.
I know. He's like 39. He's just a
ridiculous
beast.
Ridiculous. I mean, he's you know, kind of, I don't want him to, you know, compare even to LeBron, but he spends a lot of money in the off season to keep his body fit. And not only does he do these crazy workouts, but like massages, acupuncture, cryo. I mean, he does a lot of, you know, holistic medicine stuff. He does a lot of stuff that I've, you know, seen over the years. And so now when it comes to him, so you can't get upset at him that if he wants to play and you told him you're probably, of course, when you're going to sign a contract with somebody, you're telling him, you have an understanding like, hey, this is our plan for you. And if that plan is not going according to the plan, and I don't want to just get a pay, you know, there's some guys who just like, hey, I'm getting a paycheck, I'm happy. But some other guys are like, no, I want, not only do I want to earn it, but I want to be able to put myself on the field, because, you know, every sack that he gets is, he's only increasing also in his own stats and to be one of the all time great, you know, to be in that discussion or whatever. So, you know, as I would want to be a little selfish. So then if I want to leave, why does it matter where I go play?
Mm-hmm. Y'all didn't want me.
It just like, hey, y'all don't want, if you don't want to use me, that's fine. Just let me go. Let me go work for somebody else that does maybe want me. And because I don't have a lot of years left, so I want to utilize my skill set that I feel like I can still offer. Y'all don't want me. Look, y'all, your team is good without me. And clearly maybe that's why you're not using me. But go ahead and just cut me. Now, when you cut me, I should have every right, quote unquote, free agent to go wherever I want. And the fact that because he went to the Patriots, and that's a team they just obviously got done playing, and there's a good chance you might meet in the AFC Championship.
That's a little Kevin Durant, isn't it?
a little bit. Yeah, and then I think, you know, just thinking about it, like, okay, yeah, we might play in the AFC Championship game against them. The whole Patriots, like, they get all the calls, they get all the players, they get all, you know, they get all of this and that. It's like he could have gone to the Rams. He could have gone to the Saints. Nobody would have made any.
You wouldn't have said anything about
nobody any issues. And it's just one of those things, like, you know, when the team cut him the first time and he went to go play with the Bengals, you weren't upset that he went to a division rival. But now he's signing with the Patriots, who's not even in your own division, but you're upset because, like, he wanted to leave. Like, I don't – any of those other guys who are talking like that, I guarantee you, if they were put in the same exact position, they would have also wanted to be cut. Unless you just want to get paid and don't want to play.
I mean, don't get mad at me for trying to win.
Yeah.
And the Patriots is a winning organization.
Right.
So if you didn't want me, the Patriots saw something in me. Right. Of course, okay, so what does a Big Ben like to eat? I'm telling them.
Yeah.
What time does he go to the restroom? He pees at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'm telling y'all everything.
Everything.
So don't get mad at me. When you told me I was going to be a big part of the defense and I only get 40 snaps on the season.
Yeah.
He's already 39, like you said. He's at the end of his career.
And the Patriots also, you know, they might not also use him a lot, but they're still going to use him way more than the Steelers are using him. There's more than just, like, playbooks and this and that. You know, I know it's easy to, you know, people are making memes all over social media and stuff about it. But, no, like, what is he going to do? Go play for the Browns? No, he's going to go play on a playoff contending team.
Or a contender.
And, okay, let me look at the tiers of, all right, there's six teams. Out of those six teams in each conferences, you know, there's really only two or three of the 12 teams that really have a chance to win the Super Bowl, in my opinion, right? So it's like, all right, Patriots, okay, the other team that I may have a chance is a team that I'm on, but they don't want me, so eliminate that team. Well, it's really only the Patriots, and we can look at the NFC. Man, it's really a toss-up. Maybe if Carson Wentz was there, maybe I could consider Philly.
Yeah.
But he's not there. Saints, I don't know. You know, their defense is already good without me. Maybe they don't really want me. And so it just makes sense for him as an individual to go play for the Patriots. And just whether win, great. You know, it's good for him. He made the right decision. But even if they lost, it still shouldn't be considered as a bad decision, you know, because I think any other player would have been smart. It's like, you know, when the trading deadline passes in the NBA and then you get some of these guys who get waived, like, and people pick up right before the playoffs or, you know, down for the stretch run, you know, you'll get guys like, you know, every year there's always something, so one or two players that ends up getting waived, and then they always go play, like Andrew Bogut went and played for the Cavs, you know, once the Mavs cut him, you know, and David West, you know, a couple years back, you know, when, you know, going to the Spurs or whatever it is. So there's different options for these guys, but you're always going to usually pick the team that I feel like they're going to give the best. They're at least guaranteed to go to the Super Bowl, more than likely. So let me go play there. It only makes sense.
Yeah, there's a good and a bad Petty. I love this Petty. You want to get rid of me? Okay, I'll go to the Patriots. See how you like me now.
Yeah.
So let's move on
right to your face.
Yeah, let's go on to our NFL picks of the week. We got Panthers at Falcons. Who do you got?
Ooh, man, this game is going to be definitely the game of the week. Falcons, I still don't trust y'all. After the Super Bowl, I don't trust y'all.
28-3 and you lose.
Panthers, I always, and you know, I think the Panthers are still playing for seeding too, if I'm not mistaken, but I just think that Cam, Cam, that whole team, you know, going into the playoffs, and I'm pretty sure they want to play at their peak, and they don't want to give whoever they're playing, some kind of like confidence that like, hey, we can beat this team. You know, the Falcons just beat them last week or whatever it may be. So I think even though they're on the road, I'm going to pick Carolina to win this game. It might be close just because Atlanta, I know, you know, playing at home and they are obviously playing for something, but you know, don't be surprised if, you know, they're up and in the fourth quarter they lose.
You know what? I was going to go Panthers, but since you said that, this will be the game Atlanta mess around and win. So I'm going to switch my pick from the Panthers to the Falcons.
Okay. All right.
Jags versus Titans.
I'm going to go with the Jags. I think the Jags have been super consistent. Their defense is, I mean, phenomenal. I know the Titans are obviously trying to get that last playoff spot in the AFC, but I think Jags, as long as they play all their starters, which I expect them to, you know, they should definitely win this game, and I don't even think it should even be that close.
I would say it won't be close. I got Jags winning big. Cardinals at Seahawks.
Cardinals and Seahawks. Seahawks obviously coming off that win against the Cowboys. You know, they need to make sure that they don't go back to 2 weeks ago and play, you know, how they played against the Rams. So I think, you know, they kind of got their mental stuff back together to, you know, start trying to gear towards the playoffs. You know, they need to make sure that they win, obviously playing a divisional opponent. So, but the fact that they're playing at home, it should automatically make it to where they're going to win this game. But I don't think it's going to be easy because the Cardinals, even though they're not in the playoff hunt, you know, they always play really tough, regardless of who's playing at quarterback. They just have, you know, the aura about that team. It's always been great, and, you know, they play the Seahawks stuff all the time.
The Seahawks beat us last week when we should have beat them, right?
Right. Yeah.
I'm be petty, the bad petty. Okay. Cardinals, they're going to beat them. They're going to upset them. So let's move on to the Browns versus Steelers. Will the Browns get their first win of the season?
Yeah, no. No. You know, they might surprise some people at halftime and be like, oh, this might be close. No, they're not going to win. They're not going to beat the Steelers. And unless it's rigged, I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I'm not even going to waste my time. Steelers big.
Yeah.
Now to the game that I really don't want to pick. I could really care less, but since I'm a fan, I'm going to go ahead and go with it. Cowboys at Philly.
Do we have to talk about this game?
We don't really have to. Let's just make a pick and get it over with.
Move on from it. You know, we were on that conversation earlier about Jason Garrett, you know, the team for the Cowboys. The Eagles, I'm pretty sure from what I heard that they're probably going to play Nick Foles at least a little bit, but just because of the way he played, I think they just want to get some more continuity and more reps in real game for him, you know, but he might not play the whole game. The Cowboys, it all really depends on who they play. If they play their starters, I feel like they're going to win. If they don't, they're going to lose.
Yeah, I think they're going to play their starters. So
I think they'll win. I think this is what will happen. They'll win. They'll give all the Cowboys fans who are, you know, obviously mad that they're not going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, we are in our feelings. I am in my feelings right now.
But this will give them that hope, false hope for, we can beat the Eagles and we will be better than ever next year and we'll come back together and Zeke will be playing the whole season. He won't be suspended.
Hopefully.
Hopefully he ain't pulling down no shirts on, you know, during St. Patrick's Day parade coming up. So I think they'll win. I think they'll win just because of they want to prove. I think more than anybody, I think Dak really wants to make sure that he's not going to be the one that they lose this game. I just see that confidence in him that he wants to play now. If Dez going to catch the ball, that might be a little question that might never get answered.
Look here, I may talk bad about the Cowboys, but there is no way in the hell I'll ever pick the Philadelphia Eagles to beat the Cowboys. That's never going to happen. I may be in my feelings. I may talk bad about the Cowboys, but I love that star.
So you're picking with your heart.
I'm picking with my heart.
All of it, too.
All of it. They get all of this. I'm going with the Cowboys. We're going to win by 10.
10
not 72-3. No, it was 72 to a negative.
Negative 3.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So, speaking of Dez, you want to tell us about the party that you had this weekend or the event that you helped host?
Yeah, so we had a concert. So I also, like, you know, do events and concert planning on the side as one of my gigs. And we had a concert this past Thursday at Gas Monkey Live, and we brought Young Dolph for a concert. And me and my boy, we were just hanging out in the VIP, and, you know, a couple of, like, local people, like, you know, known people, I guess, had walked in. And then Dez walked in, and, you know, my friend who's a, you know, hardcore Cowboys fan, and, you know, he obviously you know, wanted to say what's up to him and got him on a little Snapchat selfie and whatnot. And, you know, I'm not really a Cowboys fan and I'm not a starstruck person, but, you know, Dez reached out with his hand to say hello and I shook his hand and gave him a hug and said, you know, hello too. You know, but a lot of immediate things, obviously just doing the podcast and, you know, being a very in-depth, you know, going into sports and analytics side of it, you know, and obviously just having that conversation that he just had with the media about, like, you know, now probably taking a pay cut and all that, and people started questioning, is it time to move on from him? Just like we talked about earlier in this podcast is, you know, I would have really liked to have, but, you know, it's obviously not the environment to have that kind of conversation. And obviously, you know, who am I? I'm like a nobody.
Did you at least get a picture with him?
I didn't. My boy did, but I wouldn't take a picture with anybody, really.
Yeah, but see, for the podcast, man, get that picture. We can tag that with it. Make it go viral. Now they know who Surge is.
Maybe next time, you know. Him along with Zeke and some of the other players, I think Rico Gathers, like I mentioned to you, you know, off air, he also was there at the concert. I believe, I know Dak was actually, you know, was on the list to come, but I guess, unfortunately, he didn't make it for whatever reason. But sooner or later, I'm pretty sure, you know, I'll run into those guys. And, yeah, man, I'm going to try to make that happen, but only for the podcast, only for any of my own personal benefit.
Unlike me, I'd do it for both. Okay, so tell me, man, what's some of your New Year's plans? You have a resolution that you want to share.
Resolution? Honestly, just overall, it doesn't matter what it is, overall being, you know, just better, being a better person, being a better friend, being a better husband, taking care of my health, you know, being better even at my work, being better at any kind of events or whatever that I do decide to step into or, you know, be a part of. And then trying to create some kind of atmosphere where I can, you know, impact other people. That's all the plans that I have. You know, and so 2018, there's a lot of things that I'm looking forward to. 2017 has been a lot of ups and downs this year. You know, and so, but I think the year is ending off, you know, in a positive note, and you know, so that's given me a lot of confidence and faith into going into 2018 that things are on the up and up. And so I just overall just want to be better at every little aspect of my life.
And I think I'm the same. I want to be better at everything. I want to, of course, our podcast to get better.
Yes.
Because we have a lot of, you know, room for improvement. But yeah. It was a tough 2017. I lost my mother in July, so that's been, you know, it's been tough. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I can say is I met you, man.
Yeah.
And you're a good dude, and I see good things between both of us, man. We're going to come back in 2018 even better.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And also, my goal is to at least get Halle Berry to send me a tweet or something. That's one of the things I'm going for in 2018. Halle Berry, I'm coming for you.
Okay, all right.
All right, we want to thank everyone for listening to episode 4 of Sports Life Talk, where, remember, life without sports is just talk. We want to thank Anthony Roberts of the Roberts Media Group and Blog Talk Radio for giving us a platform to do our podcast. Hey, have a safe and happy new year. Come back better than, go into 2018 better than where you were than 2017.
Happy new year.
All right, man, have a good one.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice, that's why. All my life, I've been grinding all my life. Yeah.